Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought someone had... Well, they said that they thought that they might have to have Anita come up and translate for me today. And I've been out of New York some time. I lived 19 years in Florida, and I was part of on the west coast of Florida, near in Charlotte County, near Sarasota, Fort Myers. Lived there for 19 years as part of a company of believers down there for 17 years, and moved from there to North Carolina. It'll be 8 years this coming November. And I think they refer to me now as a halfback, because I'm halfway back to New York. But this is as far as I'm going. I don't think I could go back to New York, nor do I think I could return to Florida. But if the cloud goes, I go. You know, so if the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to you once again for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, the fullness that he brings to our life. We thank you that we are part of this wonderful family, that we have this elder brother who is our Savior, who is our King. We're just so grateful to you today. And as we would look into your word, there is only one thing on our hearts, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. And that in seeing you, we would be changed. And this is the desire of our heart, that we would see you. So come and show us your face today, dear Lord, and change us. And we ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Yeah, the Lord is sort of. Mind if I move back here just a little bit? I want to sort of catch everybody's eye. You know. But the Lord is, in His great love for us, really wants us to come to know Him. I mean, to really know Him. I think sometimes after we have come to the Lord and been in the Lord for some time, we forget that the Lord really wants us to discover Him. That He really wants us. He really wants to reveal Himself to us. And it's a desire and passion in his heart. Maybe sometimes even more so than it is the desire or passion in our heart. Sometimes after we've been in the Lord for a period of time, we're just sort of going along the way. But there is a passion in the heart of God that he wants to reveal himself to us in a deeper and deeper way. It says in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, "If you have my commandments and keep them, I will love you. And my Father will love you, and I will disclose myself to you." There's something in his heart. He really wants us to know him. Really know him. Really be intimate with him. Again, in that 14th chapter, it says that if you have my word, that he and his Father would come, and they desire to abide and abode with us, to take up residency within us. And it speaks of intimacy. It speaks of having more than just a casual relationship. And there is just something in his heart that he just wants to do this, my dear brothers and sisters. His love for us, you know, sometimes I've thought of it, and take this in the context when I'm saying it. He's like the foolish lover of our souls. Have you found that in your life? I found that in my life, that he throws himself upon me. He goes after me. Right from the start, he was the one who was pursuing you and I. In his love for us. And even when I was unfaithful, he, in this foolish love of his for us, continued to pursue me and woo me and draw me back to him, as he's done, I'm sure, in each one of your cases. He's the foolish lover of our soul. Sometimes I said to him, "Lord, why do you love me the way you do?" If I was you, I would have said, "Hit the road, Jack," a long time ago. I would not put up with me. I don't know how he has done it. He has done it because of his great love. And in this wanting to reveal himself to us, it is a revelation of his love, of his care, of his concern, of his faithfulness. What a lover we have. And he's wanting to reveal himself to us in a greater and greater way. And he'll use every situation in our life. He desires to use every situation in our life to accomplish this. Every joy, and every tragedy. He doesn't want anything to go to waste. He doesn't want anything to pass us by without, in some way, Him being in it, and that we would recognize that, and in recognizing Him in each and every situation of our life, we might come to know Him in a deeper and deeper way. Are you aware of that? Is the Spirit of God making me aware of that? That in each and every situation, whether it be joy or tragedy, within that situation, God wants to reveal Himself to me and to you? Well, may the Spirit of God make us aware and make us sensitive to that. Because in God's heart, there's nothing that He wants to waste. Not one opportunity does He want passed by without somehow having us come to know Him in a deeper and more intimate way. He wants us to know Him experientially. He doesn't want us to know Him just by memorization. But He wants us to know us experientially. And He wants to meet every one of our needs. Whatever need that you are facing in your life today, He wants to meet that need. And He meets it in His fullness. In the fullness of Christ, are our needs met. In John's Gospel, if you'd want to turn to the first chapter of John's Gospel, these are passages that we're very familiar with, and some of them had already been read today, a matter of fact. I was about to say, hold it. I got that in what I'm saying today. Cut it. You know, but it was just God's way for me anyway, confirming what's on my heart. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, verse 14 and 16, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And the 16th verse it says, "For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." And if you turn to Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians, verse 19 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him." In Colossians, in the second chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete." This fullness that they're speaking of in relationship to the Lord is more than just quantitative. You know, the example that's given so often is the glass of water that's filled up to the brim and even overflowing. We say the glass is full, and it's true. But the fullness that they speak of in Christ, He fills all of His creation. You might say every nook and cranny of His creation, God fills with Himself. There is no space that is absent from God. He is everywhere. He is the omnipresent God, everywhere, all the time. His fullness is really more than we can comprehend. We speak of Him filling the universe, but He fills even beyond the universe that we know. He fills even beyond His own creation. He fills, it says, all and in all. And that really is something more than we can really get a handle on right now. But His fullness is so great. But His fullness is even more than quantitative. It's quality. Oh, in Him is the fullness of life. There is quality in His fullness, my dear brothers and sisters. There is nothing that can compare with Him. He is the incomparable Christ. If we try to compare His glory to the brightness of the sun in comparison is like a dying ember. He is incomparable. If we want to compare the depth of the grace and the love that we have in Christ, and we try to compare it to the deepest part of the sea, that is not even a comparison. There is no comparing anything with Christ. He is the incomparable one. He is incomparable in the way He loves you and I. And He wants us to come into an appreciation of that. He wants to reveal that to us. that His love is incomparable. There is none who can match His love for you and I. Neither father or mother or brother or sister or wife or child, there is none who can compare with His love for us. He knows the end from the beginning of your life and my life. He knows the end from the beginning of the history of that, all that which is going on around us. And He fills it all. And He wants to fill you and I with the knowledge of His love for us. And it's full and it's complete. In Him there is nothing lacking that you might need or I might need. Nothing. I have discovered, and I am discovering as the years go by, that God meets our needs, whatever they might be, in only one way. I don't care what need you're facing right now in your life, there is only one way God meets that need, and that's by a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any question that you might have in your life right now, or any question that you may have had, the whys of our life, why, is answered in only way, one way. It's answered with a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians, in the 4th chapter, the 19th verse, familiar scripture, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." All of your needs. Physical, emotional, spiritual, they are all met in Christ Jesus. About 16 and a half months ago, my wife, Carol, passed away. She died of cancer. She had breast cancer. She died. She's with the Lord now. Or as the Lord said to me just recently, she's just living someplace else, Len. Some who have lost spouses or dear ones recently know what I'm talking about. And this one day, after a year or so, sitting at the breakfast table, you know, just teary, you know, crying, the Lord just spoke to me, "Oh, she's just living someplace else." Oh, what a consolation. But I remember that the day that Carol had discovered this lump on her breast, and we went to the doctor's office the next day, and she already had some premonition, but when we went and he finally said what he had to say to us, well, I just can't tell you what that day was like. It was devastating. We walked out of the office, you know, in tears, crying, and sort of reading the death sentence in the words. And we got home that night, and we went to bed, and she had to console me. And she thought I was going to have a heart attack from the way I was crying in bed. And she had to console me. It was terrible. Terrible. She battled that for 6 years. Wonderful saint of God. A real woman of faith, courage. But that next day when we got out of bed, we had this little routine. In the morning we would go down and we would pray together and read scripture together, read our devotional together, and that was our routine in the mornings. We'd share a little bit, then we'd get on with our day. And this particular day, after that horrible night of tears and torment, we went downstairs and she sat in her chair and I sat in my chair, and I was sitting there and I was beginning to just look into the Word. And I noticed something so unusual. It was almost a little weird, if you can put it in that term. I felt this peace. This peace about me. Now there was a scripture, another one we're all familiar with in Philippians, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but with thanksgiving." "The answer is for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, over the years, this is how gracious our Lord is to us. Over the years, though sometimes I am slow to learn. But over the years, the Lord had been teaching Carol and I to come with a thankful heart before Him. And we became people who were appreciative of the mercy and the grace which He had shown us over the years in bringing us to Himself and keeping us to that very moment. We were kept by the grace of God. We had difficulties in our marriage, but God kept us. We had difficulties in employment, but God kept us. God kept us. He showed us His faithfulness. And through that, He gave us thankful and appreciative hearts for just who He was. He was a God who saves, and He saves to the uttermost. And so we came with these hearts that had been conditioned by the grace of God to be thankful people. And so this morning, I'm sitting there, and I am now sensing this peace. Boom. This peace within. This peace that goes beyond understanding. This peace that can't be explained. And all of a sudden, the scripture comes back to me. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this was my experience. And I said to my wife, Carol, I said, Carol, I just feel so peaceful right now. And she says to me, I know. Like, what's going on? Why aren't we crumbling under the pressure? Why aren't we just distraught and tearing out our hair? And but we weren't. Because God meets every one of your needs and answers every why question that you have one way. It's by a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus. Now, I had read about Him being the Prince of Peace, but I did not know Him. At that moment, I could say, as Job said, I had heard of Thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I see Thee. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, I had even shared about Him being the Prince of Peace. But this day, in my life and in my wife's life, we knew Him as the Prince of Peace. Never, never again to know Him in a casual way. But we knew Him now specifically in this unique way as the Prince of Peace. Oh, bless Him. And that peace wasn't just for that moment. But He remains for me today. The Prince of Peace. God wants to answer every one of your why questions and every one of your needs only one way, by a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus. And He reveals Himself out of His fullness. When He meets our needs, He does not meet it in a sort of a paltry type of way. He's not stingy in the meeting of our needs. He gives us His best and His fullest, because it's out of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And so it's not that He just comes in some little way and says, well, will this do? No, He comes in fully and completely, and our need is met in no other way. No one can meet it in a better way. And He meets it by a deeper revelation of who He is. Do you need peace? Then you need to know Him as the Prince of Peace. He is the God of all consolation. He is the God of all comfort. He is the wellspring of the joy of His people. He is our bread and our drink. He is the very breath of our life, or should be. And He wants to introduce Himself and reveal Himself in every area of your life, through every need, through every joy, and through every tragedy. There is something in His heart that He's just wanting to make His way in and say, here I am. This is who I am. Sometimes I think when we're praying for things in our life, oh Lord, I need peace. Oh, Lord, You know what I'm going through now. I need comfort, Lord. Or, Lord, You know the situation. I don't have two nickels to rub together. My bills are coming. You know, I need Your provision, Lord. I need And we pray as if we're talking about these sort of little heavenly commodities that we're praying for. I need a little bit of this now. And it's like we're going to a grocery store, picking them up off the shelves. But that's just not the way it is, my dear brothers and sisters. Every one of our needs are met in Christ. And every one of our needs and every why is answered by a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why I say, if you are unpeaceful, it's not as if we can pray for peace as if it's a heavenly commodity, but peace is a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need comfort, it's not a heavenly commodity. He is the one who comforts our souls. He is the God of all consolation. And so when we go to prayer and we recognize these needs in our life, they are there as an opportunity for the Lord to reveal Himself in His fullness towards us. That is the only way that you or I will be satisfied. That is the only way we will be fulfilled. It is the only way that the need would be met in such a way that we would look no other place to have any need fulfilled. Now, actually, I've said all of that just to really get to what I want to talk about. And it's not going to be much longer. But what I want to talk about, what I'd like to share about, is the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Back in North Carolina, the brothers and sisters and I have been looking at the testimony of the Lord in the believer's life individually and the testimony of the Lord corporately. And oftentimes when we think of testimony of the Lord, we think in those terms. And sometimes we neglect that the Lord Himself had a testimony. Now, when we think of the word testimony, I'm sure most of us are familiar with the word. I'm a cop. And so sometimes when I go to court, I have to give testimony. Testimony is the attesting of a truth. It's sharing about something that you know to be factual. And you go and you give your testimony. Or sometimes there are these testimonial dinners where one gets up and, you know, raves about the guy here and how wonderful he is and how good he is and what a great job he's done and all that, you know. But it's telling about facts about this particular person. It's revealing something about this person in truth for the sake of everyone else. But when we look at the Lord Jesus' life and the testimony that He brought forth, it speaks, as I look at this testimony, there are two aspects to the testimony within the Lord's life. And that's what I want to look at a little bit here. And then there are two questions I want for us to take sort of home with us today and to think about. The first question is, are you willing to change? I think sometimes we have to ask that question to ourselves periodically. Because we have a tendency of sort of getting on a track, and it takes dynamite laid across that track to get us off of it, no matter where it's going. We just get on this track and we're going. There are all sorts of things that would like to get our attention and bring us a different direction, but no, we're on this track and no matter what, we're going. And so are we willing to change? I think that's very important, brothers and sisters. We have such a creative God that we serve. Are we willing to change and to follow Him in whatever direction He might lead us? So that's the first question. The second question will come. But when I think of the Lord's testimony, there was such fullness to Jesus. Fullness of life. There was seen in Him such balance and harmony within the Lord's life. It was just so beautiful. There was no one like Him. Though He looked like everyone else in appearance, yet when He came into the presence of people, They recognized that he was, though so much like them, so different. There was balance, there was harmony, there was fullness of life. Wholeness. So often what we see today, maybe in our lives individually and in our lives corporately, there's often a lack of balance, a lack of harmony, of things really working together in such a way that we might proclaim Christ as He really is. That's so much of what we see in Christianity today. Such a poor demonstration, as it were, of the Lord Jesus. We speak about the Lord raising up a testimony for Himself that is true to His character. Well, we see so little of that, I think, in Christianity today. Sometimes, as I've said to brothers and sisters, why would anyone want to be a Christian? From what they see in the system of Christianity, why would they want to? Because they look at it and say, why would I want to be so hypocritical? You say one thing, you live another thing. I see you on church on Sundays, but I also see you during the week how you act on the job. And you call yourself a Christian? Why would I want to be like you? At least I'm not a hypocrite. Why? Well, part of that reason is because the testimony is not true to the character of the Lord Jesus, true to who He really is. We're portraying Him in a light that is really disparaging to Him. We call ourselves by His name, but yet we don't represent Him the way He really is. So often. And we can look at our lives again, and the lives of this, the corporate testimony as we see it so often, and we see such imbalance, or we see slants, as it were. People get on a track through tradition, through a certain type of teaching, or whatever it might be, and there is a slant to their life. It's not really balanced. We sort of walk around like this, you know? Yeah, I'm charismatic, hi. You know, it's a, you know, or whatever. And so you go to some places, and the gifts of the Spirit are operating. Oh, there's tongues, there's prophetic words, words of knowledge, discernment, all kinds of things going on. Wow, it's great! And yet, as we meet the people, there's a lack of character. Now, isn't that what was happening in the Corinthian church? Paul says, you're lacking in no gift, but you guys are a mess. Character, character. Then you go some other places, and every once in a while you have to ring a bell and see if people are still awake. I mean, hello, you know? They're there and they're singing the songs. Everybody's sitting in the same seats. They're doing the same thing over and over again. And I mean, where's the life? Where's the power? Where's that part of the testimony? You go some places where you have great teaching week after week after week after week until finally, and pardon the expression, but we become spiritually constipated. Do you understand what I'm saying? All this teaching, all, but what good is it if it's not being worked out in our life in a real and living way? Then what good is it? Slants. Imbalance. Oh, but when we look at the Lord Jesus, what balance. What harmony. What wholeness. In that first chapter of John's Gospel, again, scriptures that we're so very familiar with, first chapter, verses 1 through 4 was read earlier, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verses 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. And in Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians again, verse 15 through 17, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things have been created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. These scriptures really speak of who Jesus is in His essence. This is just who He is, not what He does or what He did or what He's doing. It just speaks of who He is. When Christ came on the scene, He brought with Him, as it were, this atmosphere. He didn't have to do anything. We read in the scriptures that there were times when Jesus just showed up on the scene and all of a sudden the demon says, Jesus of Nazareth, what would you have to do with us at this time? He just showed up and boom, things happened. Or He would be speaking or teaching. And as our brother shared at the beginning of the meeting today, it says, we've never heard anyone speak like this. No one has ever spoken with such authority. It was just Jesus being who He was. The God of all creation. Everything is held together by Him. Just who it's the essence of who He is. That's what those scriptures are speaking of. This is part of the character of the Lord Jesus. When He came on scene, boom, things just happened. Because He was there. He brought with Him this atmosphere of grace and mercy and love and power. It was His almightiness that just came wherever He was in His humility. But there's another part of it. In John, in the 5th chapter, in the 36th verse. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. Verse 37 and 38. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. And in Luke's Gospel, in the 7th chapter, verses 19 through 23. And summoning two of His disciples, John, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And when the men had come to Him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And at that very time, it says, and at that very time, Jesus cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits and granted sight to many who were blind. So here were these disciples of John who came to ask this question, and it's as if Jesus said, okay, wait a second, guys. Boom. You're healed, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. Boom, boom, He's doing all of these wonderful things. And Jesus says to him, and go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling in me. There was another aspect of the Lord's testimony. Part of His testimony that He came from God the Father, that He was the sent one, the expected one, was seen in His very character, in His very presence. But He said, listen, if you can't understand this, then believe the works that I do. There was another part of the testimony, my dear brothers and sisters, that was filled with power. It was more than just His words, but it was in the demonstrations of power that was part of the witness and part of the testimony in the Lord Jesus' life. Now, I think we have to ask ourselves that question. Do we have these two aspects of the testimony of the Lord Jesus in our life? Individually and corporately. Or have we settled for something less than that? Well, I am becoming more and more convinced that God is calling His people not to settle. Why should we not have this kind of testimony? A testimony that speaks of character and a testimony that speaks with power. We need it as the church. There are gifts that are given to the church for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Why aren't they demonstrated? Why are not they being used? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of letting the Holy Spirit really have His way amongst us? The world needs it. The world is tired of insipid Christianity. The world is tired of looking upon a Christianity that's without any potency, that's really impotent. The world needs to see power at work in the lives of the believers individually and in our life corporately. It needs to see these lavish extensions of the love of God in healing and in the prophetic word, in words of knowledge. We need to see that this is the fullness and the roundness and the wholeness of the testimony. As the master is, so shall the servant be. What does that mean? Are we interpreting it just in such a way that it's comfortable to us? Or are we ready to change? Are we ready to move out of our comfort zone, as is so often said, and allow the Spirit of God to do something new and different and exciting and vibrant, not for the sake of excitement or vibrancy, but for the sake of the testimony of the Lord, something that is clearly that clearly speaks of who He is? Or have we come to a place of settling for something that's comfortable for us? We have to ask ourselves the question, are we willing to change? Are we willing to allow the Spirit of God to move through this assembly of believers right here and change us to something different and new? Are we willing to do that? If we are not, let's be honest with ourselves and say we're not. Lord, change us. But God is looking for hearts that are willing to go wherever He's wanting them to go. And He's looking for people who are willing to come to a place of saying, yes, Lord, we want a testimony that is true to who You are. And we will not settle for anything less. Do whatever is necessary in my life and in the lives of the saints that I gather with. Oh, dear brothers, I am convinced that God is calling us to this kind of outrageous demonstration of the life of God. Now, I have very, very limited experience. There are other brothers here who have a lot more experience than I and have been to a lot more places than I have been. But in my limited experience of the brothers and sisters that I have met with over the years in some different places, we have settled down. I think the Spirit of God has wanted to stir us up and say, are you willing to change? In 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the Lord keeps bringing me back to asking these questions of myself as I look at these men of God. And I look at Peter, and I look at Paul, and I look at some of these men of God. It seems to me that the question always comes up to me, why not me? Why not us? Why do we look at Paul and Peter and say, wow, that's so wonderful. Yes, the truth. Oh, yes, how wonderful. But why not us? Paul was no different than you and I. I am more and more convinced of that. As far as him being a man just like you and I, he was a man just like you and I. So why can we not have the life that Paul experienced and more? Why not more? And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now here he was talking to these believers. Now, granted, they were very carnal, as Paul spoke of them. And as he came amongst them, he came with power. Now there was the character of the Lord Jesus that was displayed in his brother Paul's life. But there was also the other aspect of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And it was with power. Convincing power. Why not us? Why not you? And Peter in the third chapter of Acts, and him and John are going into the temple, and there's the lame beggar sitting on the side, sitting at the gate there for years, hands out extended, wanting a coin to make his way through the day, just to get a little bread to eat, willing to settle for a coin. And as Peter and John are walking by and they see him, it says they cast their gaze upon him, and the man caught his eye, thinking that he was going to get another handout. Sometimes I think that's what we expect from Jesus. We really don't expect him to give out of his fullness to us. And so we settle for the trinkets, as it were. Just like that lame guy sitting there would have been satisfied, because you know why? That's what he's gotten all his life. Just a cold coin in his hand, enough to get a piece of bread, enough to make it through the day. But God does not give that way. He wants to give out of His fullness to us. And so Peter says to him, "The silver and gold I have not, but what I have I will give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up." And he grabbed him by the hand and the guy started to walk. You think it might have changed his life a bit? That's what the world needs. That's what the world needs. They need more than the trinkets of Christianity. They need more than just these little phrases that we give to them. Yes, I'll pray for you, be blessed, and go. You know, they need more than just coming to a meeting and hearing some songs. No. The world has gotten so cold and so hard that I think that's why it says in the last days there's going to be a pouring out of the Spirit like has never been seen before, because we've gotten so hard, so callous. Those who don't know Him, and even us who know Him. We don't expect God to pour out lavishly upon us His Spirit. And so we settle for so much less the trinkets of Christianity, while God is saying He wants to give us out of His fullness, that we might have a testimony that's true to the Lord Jesus. And once again, we could turn the world upside down, my dear brothers and sisters. Oh, we need to get a hold of this sort of thing. This, I feel, is how our testimony needs to be. Full and round and balanced and harmonious. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I think it would be wonderful. I know it would be. And I know that's what God wants. I know that's what He wants. My other question is just that. The first question is, are we willing to change? And that's something you're going to have to examine. I mean, you're going to have to do some real business with yourself, really being honest with yourself, honest with myself. Am I willing to change? Because if we're not, then we'll have what we've always had. And the other question is this. Shouldn't our testimony, or should our testimony be like we've seen in Paul's life and in Peter's life? But more importantly, like we see in the Lord Jesus' life. Every question is answered in the Lord Jesus. Every need is met in the Lord Jesus. It's just by a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus that your needs will be met and your questions will be answered. And so as we would take these questions home, and I would encourage us to spend some time just with those two questions during this week, I think that either we're not going to answer those questions because we don't want to hear the answers, or we're going to answer those questions and God will meet us and speak to our hearts and give us direction. And so I entrust this into the Lord's hands. And I am so grateful to be amongst you brothers and sisters. It was about 5 years since I was here because after Carol had been diagnosed that first year, we weren't able to come to the conference for a number of years. And so this year, my son Vinny and I came, and it was wonderful to see so many of the brothers and sisters from Richmond, as well as from Memphis and Dothan and a lot of other places. It was just so good for us. So appreciate you, brothers and sisters. And I appreciate this time that I have with you today. Why don't we just look to the Lord a moment here. And if anyone feels to pray, I just want to thank you once again, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. And you're just so gracious to us, Lord. Again, I just thank you for your great love and your keeping power that has kept us, as weak and feeble as we are, you have kept us to this very moment by your grace. I thank you for that, Lord.